if your head goes right up into the Duchess's Ladyland, you gotta act like it's the most beautiful, fragrant part of the globe that you've ever been on. You know, maybe his mind was telling me yes, but his face was telling no.
It's true. It's damn true.
I applaud the Duchess, her ladyship.
I like that you beat the shit out of my son.
It really seems like a WCW book. Be a scholar all you want, but you're no Lenny Lane. You know, my particular palette of genius is far beyond. Oh, I mean, if you're going to take a leak, you might as well take a shit. So it's a little roosy right now, isn't it?
Wang, Wang, Pang, Sweet Poon Tang with her ladyship.
It looks like Edge is wearing a plastic shirt. Did you see this?
I don't know if she's fluffing herself or what's going on. She's knitting all night.
And I'm getting nothing but a release out of the deal.
So is a Dudley's ass comparable to, like, a Samoan skull? Kick him in the ding-ding.
You become a Sir Duke the Dumpster Bags.
What are you taking my land away for, man?
Like a shitty take on Rick Rude's trunks.
Oh, impregnable.
He's going for the class absolutely fucking nothing move.
Don't want to look like a total slob, right? I don't like that. He's taking his ass out, man.
You're kind of taking your ass out, too.
Call that mind games.
With your security guards?
I don't know.
Pleasuring you from then to then?
I wouldn't have pegged Albert as a...
I wouldn't peg him either.
JR says no kissing sister finishes. He only has one son now, and his name is Triple H.
What'd you think about that damn fall? That's a unique submission hold if I ever did see one.
Come on now. Come on now. No. Come on now.
Come on.
No, you gotta come on. No.
In association with the Shining Wizards Network, World Ring Wrestling Podcast presents...
The Year of Duke and Rogue. I'm your host, Duke the Dumpster Bags.
Oh, you fucking did it, man. That sounded good. You're Duke the Dumpster Bags.
You like that? Good?
Yeah, no, I loved it. I love that you embraced being Duke the Dumpster
I'll say it right.
Well, I know. Fuck me up the ass. I am glad that you've embraced being Duke the Dumpster Bags. I'm Handsome Kevin.
Today, we're going to be talking about WWF Backlash 2001. Back for episode 2 here of season number 7. This son of a bitch took place just a few weeks after our first episode, the Maniac 7, at the Allstate Arena in Rosemont, Illinois. So since our last show, we got new champions all over the place.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Brothers of Destruction won the tag titles from E&C. Triple H got the IC belt from Y2J. Rhino beat Kane for the hardcore title, and Matt Hardy picked up the European title from Eddie. Lots of action going on with Raw and SmackDown. You watch any Raw and SmackDown between the two shows?
You know, it's funny. I did. Not recently, though.
You know, oh, yeah?
Came out, yeah. I've been trying to go back and catch some of the ins and outs. It's been kind of interesting. I did watch the one where they threatened to throw Stephanie off the balcony prior to Mania. And I watched a little bit of what happened directly after Backlash. But not, yeah, it all blends together, man.
So nothing pertinent to our time and place right now?
Well, you know, you got the two-man power trip, right?
Yeah, Triple H and Stone Cold.
Yeah, H came running down and he was going to bash the brains out of old Steve Areno there. But swerve.
Oh, yeah.
Bash the brains out of Rock Ducci.
Yeah. Yeah, Rock had gotten a rematch inside of a steel cage.
Steel cage.
And now we got... We got that power trip taking on the Brothers of Destruction tonight with all the gold on the line.
It really seems like a WCW book.
Yeah, I don't...
I don't fucking care for it.
I don't like that.
Yeah, me either, man.
It should be three separate matches, right?
Three fucking separate fucking matches, yes.
They're trying to... What they're trying to pull here, but we'll find out. So all the belts are on the line tonight. And on Sunday Night Heat, actually, Jerry Lynn beat Crash Holly for that light heavyweight title. And he hooked the tights.
Yeah, via the cheat, man. That was a weird storyline. I don't know if you remember that at all. But they kept on pumping up JL's like natural ability and how good he was and all that kind of stuff. And then he kept on cheating. to win. And which is, it's okay. Like, I was kind of, I wanted to see where it went, but it just seemed like they kind of dropped the story all together. So I need to go anywhere.
Well, it's good to see JL getting some gold. And Lita beat Molly Holly in the other match. So the guy with the voice is back. He welcomes us saying that he who has the power has the gold. Highlighting this main event between Brothers of Destruction and Austin Triple H. So power, control, and dominance are all themes that the voice man's trying to get across here.
Sexy.
Not a great intro.
No, it really wasn't. It was kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say disappointing, but I was disappointed watching it. And I think probably some of that comes from watching the WrestleMania 17. You know, they made it like such a spectacle. The open was just a big deal. And here this guy is just, you know, kind of doing takes off the old lad. He who has the gold makes the rules.
That was kind of an Aladdin bit, wasn't it?
Aladdin, yeah, it was an Aladdin bit. Which I love Aladdin. I just don't know if I want Aladdin in my wrestling ring.
Right. Well, we're welcomed with some fireworks. We're told this is the 18th time in a row that the Federation has sold out Chicago. Got JR and Paulie in the booth. And to start off, we got some 3-on-3 action. We got the X Factor taking on the Dudley Boys.
The set looks amazing, man. I miss these sets. I fucking miss these sets. I miss when they made like the extra, like they took the extra step to make everything like separate from one another when you're watching a pay-per-view. You just don't give a shit.
Yeah, I do miss the different sets as well. Yeah. I care, man.
Sometimes I don't know. Sometimes I think you don't give a shit. Then you surprise me by letting me know you care.
JR says it's like a Dudleyville City Council meeting out there. Got a little Spike along with D-Von and Bubba Ray. We got X Factor out next. Somebody's got a Dork Factor sign in the crowd.
So that's not fair. That's not nice either.
It's all Dudley's early on. Little Spike nails a foot right to the package of Albert from the top. And the other Dudleys pick up Spike and toss him over the top, taking out Credible and Pac. The crowd's real anxious to get some tables.
They are. And JR, he's got a new saying today. He keeps on calling the Dudleys the Wizards of the Wicked Wood. I don't want them to be called the Wizards of the Wicked Wood. That name sucks.
I wasn't too high on it either. He kept saying it.
Right. He plugged it in like 3 or 4 times. Now with the Wizards of the Wicked Wood. Shut up, JL. Shut up. He's got some great calls. Sometimes he doesn't. And part of me wants to, like, I'm thinking in the back there's Vince, right? He's telling JR what to say. And he keeps on plugging. Make sure to call him the Wizards of the Wicked Wood, goddammit. Or Wizards of Wicked Wood. God damn it. At least 2 more times right now, say Wizards of the Wicked Wood. And Wizards of the Wicked Wood. It bothered me, man. He just kept on plugging it.
Yeah, he's trying to get that alliteration across, you know, with the W's. You think Vince was feeding him there?
I think so. I don't know if JR would come up with Wizards of the Wicked Wood.
Yeah, it's not like a trademark JR.
No.
You know, it's no surprise it didn't catch on. So Spike goes for what they're calling the Dudley Dog. So the acid drop.
It's the acid drop.
Dudley Dog, same deal. But Albert says not this time, gives him a toss. We're told that Big Daddy Dudley's DNA is all over the ring. D-Von gets thrown to the outside. Credible and Pac lift him up and ram his package right into the post. Great teamwork there. We're told that Albert is a hell of an athlete and a scholar. Do you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
What did he study?
I don't know. It seemed like JR had, like, his report card.
Oh, well, here we go with JR's stats.
So I wouldn't have pegged Albert as a...
I wouldn't peg him either, but you know? Everybody's got their own thing, right?
X-Pac, he gets in there, throws some of them trademark kicks, nearly takes Steve-On's head off. Incredible gets him some, connects with a BM slam. And Albert delivers a big-time double underhook slam where he pauses for a while. Kind of Lenny Lane-like.
A little Lenny Lane. Not full-on, but kind of.
I was starting to count, right? He only gave me like a 5.
Isn't that disappointing, too? Like, when you get amped up, you think he's going to Lenny Lane the shit out of a guy? And you're like, oh, he's holding him for a while now. And then you like start at like 3, right? Because you know you missed the first couple already.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time you hit 4, he drops him. Like, you're no fucking Lenny Lane. Albert is not a Lenny Lane. Be a scholar all you want, but you're no Lenny Lane.
No. Just a little, you know, that Lenny Lane just left such an impression on me whenever I see something that might give me a taste, you know?
Oh, well, yeah. It stuck with us. So it's got to be over 20 years now.
20 years, right? Probably, yeah.
Yeah. And for any listeners that don't know what we're talking about, Duke and I were at an independent wrestling show. And Lenny Lane did a stalling vertical suplex off the second rope. And he held the guy, the Suntan Superman, for I think we hit a minute, did we not?
It had to have been a minute at least.
Yeah. I mean, and we started counting late because we didn't know he was going in for the Lenny Lane stalling suplex. It was incredible.
Might have got to the triple digits.
He could have, man. It was nuts. So again, Albert is not Lenny Lane.
After getting his ass kicked for a while, D-Von makes a hot tag into Bubba. Hits some high impact moves, throws Credible into the corner. Credible does a nature boy flip. And then it's time for the Waza. You get that headbutt to the ball bag, incredible. Now it's time for D-Von to get them tables. Albert gives D-Von a boot to the face, thwarting that table plan. Meanwhile, X-Factor connects with the double chin music to Bubba to pick up the win. Good teamwork by X-Factor here.
Yeah, not bad at all. I didn't like some of the parts of X Factor. I thought it was always kind of a weird put together type of a team. But even with that, I kind of liked them as a group. It was very strange. One thing I didn't want to ask you, the Bubba Bomb. Why don't you talk to me about you got any feelings on the Bubba Bomb? I want to know how you feel about the Bubba Bomb.
Like through the table?
No. His full Nelson.
Oh, the full Nelson.
Asshole slam, yeah.
Yeah, that one. Oh, you gotta love that one.
You love it.
Of course.
Why, of
course?
You're
taking his ass out, man.
You're kind of taking your ass out, too.
That's true.
Right. I don't know.
You saying, saying it's not worth it?
I don't know. I mean, is a Dudley's ass comparable to like a Samoan skull?
Perhaps.
Okay, if it is, then yeah, Bubba Bomb, right? All the time, just keep doing it. But it's one of those moves where I'm like, I don't know what exactly. Like, do you sell your ass? Do you sell your spine? Are you compressing the spine?
Yeah, it's like a fancy atomic drop, right?
It really is. It's like a hybrid.
So what's your...
You like it? I'm undecided. I'm hoping by the end of this run of episodes, I'll have feelings about the Bubba.
Well, we're going to see a lot more Dudleys as we go along here. They're going to be teamed up with Stacy before we know it, man.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
That's going to give me a boner.
After the bell here, the X-Factor bring the table into the ring. But it doesn't turn out according to plan as X-Pac takes a low blow, and takes that 3D through the table. I was pretty impressed with Spike Dudley. I know you like Spike.
I love Spike Dudley, yeah.
Real impressed with his work in there. Not a bad opener.
No, not a bad opener. It's good enough. They end up putting Pac through the table at the end there. Get the little happiness pop. It was fine.
Do we see that limousine arriving?
No. No, we don't. I knew you were going to say that. No, we don't see it arriving. They shot it to make it look like it was arriving. It's not arriving because you can see when the camera pans out, the door behind it is clearly shut. It's not shutting. It's shut. It wasn't just arriving. It was just sitting there. I don't know how they must have just rolled it up, like just, you know, put it in drive, don't press the gas, then brake it to make it look like it's arriving. No way, man. It was not arriving. It was just there.
All right. Well, a couple of
passionate about that, man. I was passionate about that.
Well, you think Duchess has just been sitting in there all day?
Well, if you were the Duchess, would you be just sitting in your limo? With your security guards?
I don't know.
Lasering you from limb to limb?
You think that's what they're there for?
I would think so, man. If you're the Duchess.
Well, the Duchess is greeted by Lord Stephen, who thanks her ladyship for coming. And Regal tells the suited stooges to take her to her quarters.
He's wearing a button-up. Tucked into his trunks.
Well, yeah, he's, you know, for his ladyship. He's got to look nice.
It's just a weird look, man. It's like if you were wearing, like, you know, your BBDs, and you're just going to tug in your collared shirt. It looks weird. Have you ever done that?
I don't think so. Not on purpose.
Okay. Right. Well, yeah, not on purpose, right?
I haven't been in that kind of a spot, though, right?
You've never met your ladyship.
Right.
Okay.
Don't want to look like a total slob, right?
Right, but like from like waist down, he looks like he's ready to, you know, wang, bang, sweet, poon, tang with her ladyship. But then from like waist up, it's like he's, you know, ready to do her taxes.
Right, right.
It's just a weird look.
We see Kurt Angle shining up his gold medals in the back. Lillian Garcia's back there and asks him why he's so calm. He says that he owns Benoit and those 30 minutes tonight are going to seem like a lifetime in that Iron Man submission match. Not as good as him watching that film over and over.
Yeah.
We're showing some highlights from Heat earlier where Jerry Lynn got that win with a handful of tights. Next up, we got the hardcore title on the line. We got Rhino defending against Raven. This is kind of revisiting a couple seasons ago from TNA.
A little bit. I know you're going to go back to that, like, oh, he's a homeless. He's not a homeless guy. He kicks ass. But I saw that the Frankenstein's still there, but there's a Raven on the Raven shopping cart. No, I thought that was pretty cool.
Like a bird?
Like a bird, yeah. A raven.
It was a better selection than he had last time.
More stuff to do damage, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't bring the fucking flipper with him this time.
And right away, Raven connects with the drop toe hold, sending Rhino's face into the stop sign. Rhino nails a gore, and the two exchange shots with the trash can. Bell to the outside, Rhino sets up the steps and jumps off him, but misses. Crashes right through the chair.
Yeah, that was a great spot, man. I really liked it. Like, he took the chair like a, you know, man.
Yeah, just straight through the chair.
Yeah, complete abandonment for his own well-being. It could have ended very poorly, but it looked pretty cool.
So we've got the kitchen sink out there this time. Raven gets nailed in the head a few times with some objects as JR talks about his brain scrambling with each blow. Man, they're, the foreign objects, it's a little overkill here. The guys are tripping over them.
What's the hardcore division?
Didn't you think it was a little much, though?
Of course.
You can't
it's
really,
ridiculous.
You know, like, you can't really get any sort of an Irish whip offense going.
No.
With all the plunder in there.
It's completely absurd. It's way too much. But you kind of know that going into it because it's the hardcore division. I'm not a big hardcore division guy, right? But if you're already at a party, right, have some chips.
Right. Well, they're, I mean, specifically with, well, with both of these guys, they kind of rely on that Irish whip sort of offense. So it's like, it just looks goofy when they're zigzagging.
Yeah,
you
gotta,
know,
they gotta run an obstacle course to get to the ropes
to get to the spot.
Yeah, you're right.
As Raven delivers another one of them drop toe holds to Rhino, gets a taste of the cart. That looks pretty good. Raven connects with a nice bulldog, probably the first wrestling move in the match. It's not enough. Raven gets behind the cart and rams it right into the man beast. And they just continue to exchange blows to the face with various objects. Rhino misses the gore, goes right through the shopping cart.
Funniest spot in the entire goddamn match. So, and I would, so Raven is super good with the street sign, right? Street sign might be his best weapon.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Rhino goes for the gore. It's so beautifully done. Shopping cart's in the corner, and it's like he disappears. He goes straight up the ass of the shopping cart, and he's gone. I don't know how he did it, because Rhino's a wide dude, right? He's a big man to be pulling that off.
Oh, yeah.
It reminded me of those people that, like, dive through the flaming hoops, right? Tiny little flaming hoops. You got to dive through them in the circus act. Yeah, reminded me of that. But he didn't even stop. Full ass, right, smooth up in that shopping cart. It was beautiful, man.
It's a good spot. And to add insult to injury, Raven clobbered him with the kitchen sink while he was, like, stuck. He kind of became one with that shopping cart.
Would have been funny if Raven was like, oh, no, I'm stuck in this shopping cart, Raven. And Raven's like, well, how will I get you out?
Well, Rhino's a resilient champion. He gets up, nails the gore, picks up the win to retain the championship. At this point, JR calls Rhino impregnable.
Oh, we'll see if he gets stuck in the shopping cart again.
What do you suppose he meant by that?
Impregnable?
He said Rhino was impregnable.
Okay. And I mean, you're the guy with the degree on the words there. What is impregnable? Because I'm not familiar with that.
Isn't that when you get knocked up?
Well, it's getting impregnated.
It sounds like the same thing.
Impregnated and impregnable. Well, see, that's where my mind went right away. That's why I said, you know, see if you get stuck in the shopping cart a couple more times, see how impregnable he can be.
Yeah, we might have to come back.
You didn't look it up?
Yeah, we'll have to look it up.
Impregnable. Because I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with the word impregnable. How do you suppose you spell that?
Oh, impregnable. Is unable to be captured or broken into.
Impregnable. Preg. Not prig. Preg.
Right.
Huh. Yeah. Impregnable. Of a fortified position. Unable to be captured or broken into. So, yeah, I suppose if he's unable to be broken into, he could probably get stuck in the shopping cart all the time.
Yeah.
Check me out. I'm stuck in the shopping cart. What are you going to do? I'm impregnable.
Yeah, we're told about that last man standing match we got coming up later between Shane and the Big Show. Vince put his baby boy in this match.
Don't do it to my daddy.
Yeah, this match coming up with the Jack.
With the Jack.
They're sent to a segment from SmackDown where Shane's reading a story called Shane and the Beanstalk. We see some shots from the past few weeks as Shane reads the rhymes. Not crazy about this.
Oh, I didn't like it at all.
Michael Cole's in the back and Shane's got his book. Steph shows up and encourages her brother to call off the match. Yeah. Yeah, Shane and the Beanstalk.
So Stephanie's got that hair again. You still feeling not too good about that?
Not a big fan of the frizzy hair.
Yeah, I like it. He gets a good look. He gets a good look. Stephanie, though, classic over-actor, is she not?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, big time. Yeah.
Good. See, Stone Cold with Deborah arriving. Kevin Kelly asked him about losing the world title. Austin says he ain't losing a damn thing. He's holding Deborah's arm pretty aggressively as they make their way through the backstage area.
I did pick up on that, too.
They're trying real hard to get everybody to boo him.
Well, the thing is that, like, to me, it would solidify his heel status if I gave a shit about Deborah. But I don't like Deborah. So part of me in my mind is like, I don't give a shit. Rip it off. I don't care.
Well, let's go back to the time machine here.
Sure.
So you're watching this live.
Yep.
Right? Are you hating Austin at this time, or are you still cheering him on?
So at this time, I am still cheering on Steve Austin. Yeah. I didn't... Him.
You're probably not alone.
Right. And I'm teaming up with Vince didn't sway me to dislike Stone Cold, so... I still didn't like Deborah, if that counts for anything.
So that aggressive arm business, that didn't do it for you?
No, man. I mean, he's holding her arm.
He doesn't want her walking off, I guess.
No, he wasn't dragging her by her tongue.
That's true. Yeah. We're sent to the coach with the Duchess. And he's asking about what the rules are for the match. Regal shows up and tells Coach to bugger off or else he'll be calling potato sack races in Kansas City.
Which is hilarious because that's Coach's Kansas City guy. So there might be some truth, some early coach days in that. Best part of that segment, one of the security guys picks up one of the old sausages and relationship says it tells him to put it down because it's gross.
Get a package highlight, my pick for feud of the year here between Y2J and Regal. A lot of the same footage from the Mania package. Jericho taking a leak in the, Royal Tea and such. And nobody knows what the rules are going to be here. So right away, this took me back to, I don't know what it was, like the Quebec rules match. Remember when Jacques was the official and he kept changing the rules, I think, for Lance Storm?
Yeah. Yes, I do. I forget what they called that match.
Same kind of idea.
Yeah, just modify the rules as time goes on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Regal's out there first. He waves to the audience, gets on the mic, says hello to all his friends in Chicago. They boo him and call him an asshole. Here he's trying to be nice, waving, smiling.
Right, doing the right thing. There is some awesome comparisons between him and the Quebecers.
Oh, yeah, Rougeaus.
No, sorry, the Rougeaus, my bad. Yeah, Rougeaus brothers.
Right. So he introduces the Duchess. Her ladyship's out there. She's got a scepter. Gets to sit on a throne at ringside.
I didn't like her ladyship had her own entrance music. And she kept on, like, waving the scepter like it was a magic wand. That pissed me off. Like, she kept on bringing it up to her, like, her face and then, like, waving it forward like she's casting some type of weird her ladyship spells. Didn't care for that, man.
Didn't like that. I2J comes out, gets on the mic, says the Duchess looks like a man. Says they're in the Windy City and that Queensbury must be the ugly city.
That is not a pay-per-view worthy line at all.
No.
And he didn't even deliver it like classic Jericho, where he'd be like, the Ugly City. He's like, we're the Windy City, and Queensbury must be the Ugly City. It's not good.
So the match starts off, and we're not sure how you get a win here. Jericho hits a big flying man off the top onto the commissioner. They battle the outside. Back in the ring, Jericho misses a big missile drop kick. Regal gets the upper hand. And we get a number of knees, kicks, uppercuts, all sorts of blows to the face. The commissioner. As Paulie speculates that Regal might get knighted for his efforts tonight.
He should be knighted.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I think we should probably nominate him.
Is that how it works? You get a nominate?
I think that's how it works.
Okay. Well, let's get the petition going. Is it a petition, or is it just like a write-in?
I'll have to do a deep dive on that, but he definitely deserves to be a knight. He
deserves it, yeah, if anybody.
So Regal goes to the second rope and spends a little too much time waving at the Chicago audience, and he gets Hurricane Ronan. We get a bulldog and a lion salt, and then we hear the bell ring. And then the fake says, according to the Duchess, the time limit for round one has expired. And round two has begun.
So, I'm okay with this. It was weird that Paul Heyman was still trying to like play off like he knows the rules. It's like the round ended. He's like, oh, that's right. I forgot to tell you about the rounds. I forgot that's round one is over. That's on me. I'm sorry. JR, maybe you should show up at a production meeting every now and again. I forgot to tell you about the rounds. But there's only one round. And then it's round two, I suppose. And there's two rounds, I guess.
So we're at round two here.
Now, yeah, round two kicks off.
Regal slingshots Jericho into the ropes and follows it up with a huge belly-to-back suplex. Looks to lock on that stretch. Jericho reaches the ropes, makes a comeback, locks on the lion tamer, and the commissioner taps out. As his music starts, the fake tells us that you can't win by submission.
Question for you.
Huh.
Years ago on Worldwide, I've referenced this match many times. We had Regal versus Ric Flair for the Queensbury Cup.
One of your favorites.
One of my favorites. Yeah, I loved that series of matches. Why? Those were not the rules back then. You think the rules have changed? Has Queensbury become a tough guy town?
Well, didn't you say that was a series of matches? That Regal,
it was a series Flair? Of matches. Yeah,
was it a series of different kinds of matches?
No,
just all not straight.
Not to my memory, at least.
All right. I mean, you got to believe that submissions were allowed. Nature Boy Ric Flair, Figure Four.
Regal Stretch,
yeah. Right? And there probably weren't rounds then on Worldwide.
No.
I don't ever remember there being rounds in a Worldwide match.
No.
Yeah, I think they're just making it up as they're going along here.
It's good to know.
So Paulie reminds JR that the Duchess isn't some cowgirl from Oklahoma. She's royalty. In the ring, YTJ delivers a boot to the Royal Jewels Regal. Ends up on the outside, and his face ends up in the Duchess's... Right in her business there.
Queen's pussy.
Yep.
Which is fine. Like it's funny. It's a good spot, you know. Oops, my head's in your craw. But like,
right.
He acts like it smells real bad. That's not good for the Duchess. If you accidentally bury your head, the Duchess's, you know. Right in your nethers. You got to act like you like it, right?
Right.
It's the Duchess.
Well, if you want to get knighted.
Right. Well, yeah, especially if you want to get knighted. But even if you don't, if your head goes right up into the Duchess's lady land, you got to act like it's, you know, it's the most most beautiful, fragrant part of the globe that you've ever been on, don't you?
I would think so. But yeah, we got a classic, you know, disgusted Regal face. Or do you think maybe it was just a shock because he never thought that he'd be in that spot?
You never thought he'd be smooth out, like nose up in the Duchess.
Right.
I didn't think of it that way.
That's got to be a childhood dream, you would think.
You would think he would, yeah. He's been thinking about, he's been fantasizing about that for years, but the face says no.
Right.
You know, maybe his mind was telling him yes, but his face was telling him no.
Well, Jericho's a little sick of the all this hullabaloo with the Duchess, and he grabs her and throws her in the ring. Locks in a lion tamer. Regal clobbers him with a chair and gets the win. And then Pink says, according to the rules, Regal's the winner. The Duchess's wig's coming off as she's helped to the back by Regal. Yeah. What'd you think of this?
Well, I mean, the Duchess. Would you?
I don't think so, man.
But she's Duchess. It's her ladyship.
It is her ladyship. Am I going to profit from the deal?
Well, what do you need? You get the poison out. Isn't that a profit?
You know, maybe she could give me some land or something, right?
That was going to be my next thought, was maybe she gets you a nice little, you know, nice couple acres up there in Queensbury.
Oh, then play ball, you know?
Yeah. I was trying, would you want to wig on or wig off?
Oh, man. Probably keep it on.
Keep it on. Okay. Interesting.
You?
Yeah, I'm not much for the Duchess, but like you, I mean, I'm not above plowing for some land. They're not making any more of it, right? So if she's like, hey, how many acres, though? Well, I guess first, would you do it with no land on the line? If she was just like, you know, she'll give you the royal favors or whatever it is. Maybe you get knighted. You become Sir Duke with the dumpster bags.
Well, yeah, I think there's got to be something on the line, right? I mean, we just saw Regal's reaction.
How about this? What if no land on the line, right? No land on the line, but you haven't gotten the poison out for like a month.
What are you taking my land away for, man?
I'm just saying, like, you haven't got the poison out for a month, and the Duchess is there, right? She's wearing the wig that you like so much. She says, come hither, right? Making those bedroom eyes at you. Wig's looking good.
I get to be knighted?
No, man. No, you're just on a dry spell. But the Duchess is ready. She's prime.
And I'm getting nothing but a release out of the deal.
You're getting nothing but a release. But it's a release you need. Keep that in mind, because it's been a while. The Duchess is the slump buster, Queensbury.
Oh, yeah? There's probably some prestige that goes along with that, right?
I would think so. You get to go you get to go around town saying, hey, I plowed the Duchess, her ladyship.
That doesn't sound so bad.
Right. You got to put it right in her ladyship. You got to dock her ladyship.
Or set to the back with Vince at the Big Show. Vince tells the show not to hold back. And Show says he's going to let it all fly tonight.
Vince goes, I like that about you, Big Show. I laughed really hard about that. I'm not going to hold. Let me get that straight. You're not going to hold anything back because he's my son. Not going to hold anything back because he's your son. I like that about you, Big Show. I like that you'll beat the shit out of my son.
He loves it.
Yeah.
We get a package for the upcoming submission match. This one ought to be a treat. Meanwhile, Paul Lee's apologizing to the Duchess. JR says that she looks more like a truck driver than a Duchess.
Maybe she is.
You think she does both, maybe?
I don't think she does, but you know, people got a lot of weird hobbies out there, right?
Ultimate Submission Match coming up. Kurt Angle's out there first, gets on the mic, talks about the fat, sweaty pigs of Chicago. He says that Benoit isn't a pig, but he's going to be squealing like one tonight. It's true. It's damn true. We're told that there's going to be a 30-second rest period between any submissions here in this match. What do you think of that?
I'm okay with the rest period.
We got a whole lot of takedowns, holds, reversals here, as expected.
Did it take you a little while to get into this match? Like, there's a lot of like amateur style wrestling stuff to open it up. And at first, I was like, "Hell yeah, this looks good! Like, it looks kind of cool." They're doing all this amateur stuff to open it up, but it lasts a little bit longer than I think it needed to.
Well, it's a submission only match, man.
Right.
So that's pretty much all we get.
Second question. If it's a submission-only match, why can't I go outside the ring, grab a lead pipe, and beat the piss out of an arm, come back in and lock in an arm bar?
Well, you should be able to.
You should be able to, right. Nobody utilized the strategy.
Well, Angle goes for a chair, and Kyoto says, you better not.
You should do that. But why? Why can't you? If it's only submission, that's the only way you can get a get a fall. You should be able to fuck him up with something else. Unless it's in like the bylaws.
Well, it's like not an honorable move, right?
Who gives a shit about an honorable move? I'm trying to win a match.
Well, I mean, if you're Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle, don't you just want to beat him on your own merit?
No, I want to go to the pay window.
The pay window, huh?
Yeah.
All right, well, I agree. I mean, there's no... Mike Chioda's, like, officiating this match as if there are countouts and disqualifications.
Yes.
But he also gets shoved out of the way a few times. It's not like he could just disqualify a guy, which...
Yeah, brings me up another question then. So if you're in a submission, why would you just grab the referee and you know, just fucking sock him in the mouth, knock him out? Because then even if you tap, it's not going to matter.
How are you going to take out the official if you're in a submission hold?
Think about it, man. If you're in a, fuck, like if you're in a, say you're in a sleeper, right? Maybe sleeper's the wrong one. You go to sleep. Say you're in a standing arm bar, right? And it hurts like a real motherfucker, right?
Right.
You're thinking about tapping. Why don't you just grab the official, kick him in the ding-ding?
In that case, it would work, sure.
Right, yeah. There's a lot of holes to this match.
Well, Angle locks in a leg lock. He gets the first sub as Benoit gives up right away. Pauly gives him credit for submitting right away, as to not prolong the agony there. Benoit scores the second sub with an armbar. We're tied at one apiece. Angle takes the post, and Benoit goes for that armbar again, but Kurt gets to the ropes. I got to ask you something. You like the rabid Wolverine, or you like the Crippler?
I prefer the Crippler.
Yeah?
Yeah, but for a while, weren't they calling him the rabid Wolverine?
Yeah.
But also the Crippler?
And the Canadian Crippler?
Yeah, a lot of stuff, a lot of nicknames.
He had some good, he had a lot of good stuff going for him. It's too bad.
I prefer the Crippler. Why, are you a rabid Wolverine guy?
I think I like Crippler as well. It's more pertinent to his job here.
Right.
Kyoto, after getting thrown out of the way by the Crippler. Or Crippler. Takes the chair to the face.
I was going to say, that was a big dramatic pause.
Well, we got some post-production there. So Crippler takes the chair to the face, ends up in an ankle lock, gives up, and then Kurt takes the lead. Angle locks in a crossface immediately. Crippler gives up. And now he's got a 3-1 advantage. Kurt takes a huge backdrop over the top rope. The bell on the outside for a while. We're at about the halfway point here. So at the halfway point, we already got four submissions.
Yeah.
Does that seem like a lot to you?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily.
Huh?
Well, because if you, and they do a good job explaining the strategy of it. You don't want to not tap and completely weaken a limb or a shoulder or, you know, what have you. So it kind of makes sense to just tap and move on, right? You get your rest period, get back in.
Right. Oh, man. At this point, we see an abdominal stretch. I've never seen anybody give up to an abdominal stretch.
I thought the same fucking thing. Were you happy?
I was happy to see it, yeah.
Yeah. You never see that. Somebody needs to have the abdominal stretch be their finish.
It really should be. It's a hell of a move.
I mean, I slapped in the old abdominal stretch numerous times.
It's a painful, painful hold.
Did you ever tap?
I don't think you can tap, right? Because your business is all tangled up.
Right.
You'd have to, like, scream out in submission, right?
Right.
Yeah, this point, Benoit locks in a sharpshooter and gets the rope. Then he locks in a half crab, and Kurt taps out. I see a Austin worst heel ever sign. And Angle's playing it smart here, trying to avoid his opponent as he's got that 3-2 advantage still. Benoit makes a comeback, hits some of them German suplexes, locks in a leg lock to even up the score at 3-3. And then as we come down to the home stretch here, Angle locks in another ankle lock on his opponent as time expires. And the ref declares that this is going to be a sudden death type of situation with the next sub. Winning the match.
I like that.
JR says no kissing sister finishes. Are you advocating for the kissing sister finish?
If you're kissing your sister, it'll go for the win. I don't, well, first of all, let's get rid of that kissing sister stuff. Just gonna get away from that. This isn't Reno and whoever the Johnny the Bull.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, I had that stricken from my memory.
Yeah, well, there it is.
It's back.
That, from the hills of Italy. So, unless they say, like, that's the thing I don't like. Unless they say, like, if it's tied at 3, we'll go to a sudden death round. Then, yeah. But if they don't say that, and it's time limit's up, it's a draw, man. Stop it with this extra time bullshit. Stop it. And then they get into extra time. This is the part of the match that really pissed me off the most. All right. They're in the match, and I believe it's Angle that gets, it looks kind of like almost like a modified, like, regal stretch, like they're both laying down type of a move. And fucking JR calls it a guillotine, and then he calls it a version of guillotine. It's neither one of those things, asshole. It's not. The closest thing it is, it looks like a twister. That's what that move is called. A twister. It's rarely used in MMA. It's called a fucking twister. Don't just say, it's a guillotine, a modified version of a guillotine. No, it's not. It's not a modified version of a guillotine. It's a fucking twister, you asshole. All right, JR, I like you. Don't just make shit up. Don't do that to me.
He's got to say something, man.
He does got to say something. He could say, well, that's a unique submission hold if I ever did see one, right? Say that. That's a maneuver. You know, you don't see that top maneuver down in Arkansas. So say that. Don't say it. Well, it's a damn guillotine. He's gotten into guillotine. A variation of a guillotine. No, it's not any of those things.
You don't like him making stuff up.
You don't just make it up, man. You can just, he could have easily said, that's a damn unique hold. Just leave it at that. And I would have said, you know what, JR, you're right. That is a damn unique hold. But he doesn't. He says, there's a guillotine. And I go, you fucking idiots. It's not a guillotine.
Well, Benoit ultimately gets Angle in the crossface, makes Kurt tap, picks up the win. So we got two rematches here from the Mania, building on those feuds. What do you think of this moving forward between Benoit and Angle? Do you want to keep seeing it?
Yeah, I do. I don't mind watching these two wrestle. Like, I don't think I'll ever be tired of watching these two wrestle.
Right. You think they put them in a cage next? Or what?
Well, there has to be some type of blow-off. It's hard to do, though, when you have, like, two guys that are just, like, claiming to be the best wrestlers. Right? The best wrestlers, you know, we're the best wrestlers and the technical wrestlers. And go, well, let's have a street fight, because that's not a technical wrestling match. So, realistically, it is, like, this ultimate submission-style match that should be the blow-off. But it's not done, right? They're not blown off yet.
Yeah, another great showing by these two. They're tied up at one apiece in their feud so far this season. We're sent to the back with Triple H and Stephanie. Talking about Shane living in a fairy tale world. You get a package highlight in the Vince and Shane feud. The Big Show doing his daddy's bidding. And we see Shane reading that book again. Just put the book away, Shane.
He reads the whole fucking book, too. I don't like anything about it. No.
Something I do like, though, we get the debut of Here Comes the Money.
This is the day. Are you sure of that?
This is the debut of Shane McMahon's theme. Yep.
This is the day. 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool. It's a little, yeah. You didn't even introduce that as a little knowledge nugget for me.
Yeah, if you'll recall our first show, he came out to the No Chance.
I remember that, yeah.
And then just to be sure, I looked it up, and this was the debut, so.
Awesome, man. Thanks for doing research, bud.
No problem, man. We get to see the Jai. Oh, and the last man standing. I mean, if you're just looking at this, right, Jai, Shane. I mean, Shane's the underdog here.
Yeah. Quick question. The Big Show's theme song. Not a bad theme song, but did it hurt him? It's like this like kind of bluesy type of a song.
You're talking the classic, well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not like, you wouldn't think, that's not an imposing style song. Right? It's a right away. I don't think the Big Show's theme does him any favors whatsoever.
You don't think that's like a world champion's theme song?
No, not at all. Right? Like, think about it. He's a giant, right? He's imposing. Right? He should have something a little bit more, like, it should be slower, but it should be a little bit more ferocious. The Well, It's the Big Show song is fun and inviting.
Yeah, I mean, I always thought it suited him all right.
As
you
a
not
face,
so much, though.
As a face, sure. Right? As a face, yeah.
Oh, but as a bad guy.
He's a heel.
Right.
You know what I mean? It makes no fucking... Like, why is that? That sucks.
Something and a little more menacing.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. Or slower and mysterious.
Right. You should come down to, like, Call of the Cthulhu.
Or be like his daddy, Andre, and just come down to nothing.
Nothing was a good, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Or like, I don't know, the Klansman, Iron Maiden.
Oh, that's a classic. And Paulie's prediction is that Shane's going to get his ass kicked. Shane strikes first with the kendo stick. So he's got his custom giant killer jersey. I like how Shane's always dressed like in the custom gear.
You do.
Yeah, it's usually unique to whatever he's doing.
Yeah. It's kind of like a shitty take on Rick Rude's trunks.
It's not nearly as good as Rick Rude's stuff, but
that's right.
I didn't even put that together, man. Way to bring it all together.
Well, you know, my particular palette of genius is far beyond.
So Shane gets the chair, hits the show about six times with it. before finally knocking him down. This is a last man standing, so you got to keep your guy down for a 10 count. At this point, Shane grabs a mask. JR wonders what that smell is. Got some sort of a pungent odor.
I like that you tried doing a JR.
So Shane's going with the chloroform bit here.
Yeah.
He's trying to kill the show. That'll win you a last man standing, in theory.
It should. The referee does a pretty good job trying to sell, like, what the fuck's the smell? I don't buy that shitty fucking doctor's mask gimmick is helping him out in this situation. Because, like, even when he's on his back, like, you can see the liquid dropping off. He should have gotten a gas mask.
Right. Just to be safe.
Right.
Because there's no sense knocking yourself out.
No. That would have been a hell of a finish.
Referee's out, too.
Yeah, Shane's mask falls off. Everybody passes.
Just a draw. Creative finish, for sure. But Vince runs out there. Clobbers his son with the chair. Breaking up the count. And apparently that chloroform wasn't enough to put the big show out. So he gets up. He dominates Shane with a series of big, high-impact moves. And the show keeps picking up Shane before the ref can get the 10 count.
Yeah, and he keeps on slamming him. And the thing that I get drawn to is that the fucking rag with the mysterious odor is still just sitting in the ring. And nobody's reacting to it anymore. And I don't know who I'm upset. Like, the referee's got to kick that away. Somebody's got to make sure it's not in the ring anymore. Because it's just sitting there. Like, they should still be reacting to the rag with the mysterious odor if it's still in the ring and they're getting slammed near it.
Right. It's still a dangerous foreign object there.
At least, I mean, if shows come too, he should at least look at it and kick it. Like, be afraid of it, right? But kick it away. Get it out of there.
Like Andre with snakes.
Andre's not afraid of snakes, dickhead.
Was that thing in there the whole rest of the way?
I don't remember it ever leaving the ring, and that's why I kind of got fixated on it.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a miss for sure. Show can't really make up his mind here because he tells Kyoto to get on the count, and then he gets to about 8, and then he picks him up. You want the win or not, Big Show?
Yeah, he's just kind of imposing his dominance.
So Show locks in a fucking torture rack, and then Test shows up. Your guy.
I like Test.
It's a big boot to the big fella, and then just falls on his ass. Looks great.
That's the fucking prop, man.
I said I liked it, man.
Oh, okay.
A little goofy, but I liked it.
I don't know if you're saying that to be, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? A dick.
Well, Test's show battle up the entryway. Oh, I like that big boot, man.
It's a good big boot.
Shouldn't Shane have been counted down on the mat?
When?
So, like, Test shows up and hits the boot, right?
Yeah.
Shane's just down.
Good point. Yeah.
In the ring as they're battling to the outside.
Well, perhaps the liquid has played the mysterious odor has played with the referee's senses.
Oh, maybe it's fucked him up a little bit.
Fucked him up a little, yeah.
Because he follows those guys out of the ring, and one of those guys isn't even involved in the match.
Right. So maybe really fucked him up.
Right. Maybe he's hallucinating out there. That's not safe. Well, Shane, he ultimately gets revived and follows the big man out there. He gets chased with a pipe, ends up climbing up this Titantron, trying to get away from the Jai. Meanwhile, Test is doing a number on the show, holds him down while Shane does a big flying man off the top of the Tron, We're led to believe that he hits an elbow or something to the big man. I don't think he hits him.
He doesn't hit him with shit.
Big fall.
Big fall, yeah. Good job.
You got to at least graze your guy, though, because, I mean, they went back to the well and showed it about 10 times.
That's the big problem.
He didn't hit him in any of the 10 times.
The one angle, it looks like he could have. But they did that other angle where it is, so the big angle, right, from the front of the set, it looks like he could have hit Show. But then they showed the other angle from the camera down on the floor pointing up.
Right.
And you see that he doesn't fuck come anywhere near him.
Right, because at first you didn't really know. You assumed that he hit him.
Right. Bad idea. Don't show that replay.
No.
Show the one replay, leave it at that.
Right. The test helps Shane up, props him on this crane so that he's not counted down for the 10. And the show is giving Shane O'Mac the win, as JR speculates. It must have fallen at least 50 feet.
Congratulations, Shane. You're the new Jeff Hardy.
Hell of a fall.
Well, he's better than Jeff Hardy. But
well, Vince is in the back with Steph in the game. He's pissed. Wonders what the hell just happened. He assures us that he only has one son now, and his name is Triple H.
I don't care. One son now, and his name, Triple H. Triple H McMahon.
I'm your daddy.
I'm your daddy.
Triple H McMahon. Oh, man. We're set to Steve Blackman.
How fucking awesome was this? Steve Blackman, WWE New, or WWF New York, for no reason at all. And the thing that I can kick out of it, he's got like a sweet tea in front of him. He's got a giant plate of pasta. He's got some buffalo wings. He's trying to have dinner. And like, Steve Blackman here. What'd you think about that damn fall? And Steve Blackman is just the straightest guy you'll ever fucking meet. He goes, yeah, you know, I fought him and he fell from some great heights in our match. He's a tough guy.
Yeah, but Steve, what'd you think of that big damn fall?
And he's like, he's trying to eat his fucking pasta, man. Like, he's got, it looks like he's got some delectable eats there to have. And then for no damn reason, Grandmaster Sexay shows up.
The Grandmaster.
He's got a rap, and then he goes, right down, come on down, come on down, come on down, so come on down, come on down, come on down, down, come on down,
come on
down, you gotta come on dog. Come on down.
Does he ever give it to him?
He never gives it to him, and I couldn't decide whether I thought it was hilarious or if it sucked. And I'm leaning towards hilarious, just because he did not give up. He just kept it. It went from like the, all right, this is annoying, to all right,
come on now. No.
I think these guys were a tag team against X Factor for the warm up match to 17. So they got some sort of new alliance happening here.
Yeah.
Like an odd couple.
Grandmaster Sexy went through some weird stuff there. Like, I remember he tagged with like guys from the DOA at one point. He rode to the ring on the back of the bikes.
Really?
There was a lot. Yeah, there was a lot of weird stuff that Brian Christopher was in.
Oh man. Next up, we got a 3-way dance for that European title. Matt Hardy, the champion, defended against Christian and Eddie Guerrero. Early on here, Matt's disposed of, and Eddie lands a nice Hurricane Rana on a Christian. Matt gets back in there, goes for a twist of fate, gets denied. Eddie goes for one of them surfboard moves. Matt comes flying in with a sunset flip right in the ropes. A lot of good action in this one. I mean, it's kind of So this is right before the main event here.
Yeah.
What do you think of the placement here?
Short match, right? Popcorn match. The pieces in this match, I wasn't quite into, right? You have tag team guy, and Eddie. Generally speaking, I can probably just sit down and watch Eddie wrestle, and I'll probably enjoy it. This one, I never got into. Like, at no point was I like, okay, I'm enjoying this match. It just didn't happen. And I'm not really sure why that is. You know what I mean? Like, Edge is a talented cat. Hardy's a talented cat, but they're talented tag team guys at this point, not talented singles guys at this point. And Eddie's a phenomenal singles guy. So I thought maybe they thought he was going to be the glue, right, to really, really make this son of a bitch go. But this is a very short match, too.
Right. Yeah, Eddie lands a couple of real nice brain busters, and both of Christian and Hardy's tag team partners interfere. Referee lets a lot of malarkey go here. Ultimately, Matt hits a twist of fate, pins Christian to retain the title.
Yeah, it was after the tag team partners ran in. But that bothered me too, because none of the radicals ran in for Edward there.
So right.
That bothered me. And then Edge, it looks like Edge is wearing a plastic shirt. Did you see this?
Yeah, it's the see-through, like, plastic shirt.
He's wearing a fucking plastic shirt.
What do you think of that look?
I don't like it.
Just see-through. Why are you even wearing a shirt, really?
Well, maybe if he was eating something that was very sloppy. I mean, it looks like a shirt protector. There should be a shirt underneath that shirt.
Right, it does. Like, if you're going to some ridiculous buffet, right?
Right.
On a personal challenge.
Yeah. Personal challenge at the buffet, yes. Can wear your shirt protector.
And then Jeff Hardy shows up, because of course he does, and pretty much misses his man.
Well, he's an idiot.
Well, he's not on a match here, so I'm sure he's probably not in the best state of mind, but I guess they had to put this European title match here because in the main event we have all of the other gold on the line. What do you think of the show so far going into our main event here?
A little disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't going to live up to the last one.
Of course not.
But, yeah, it's kind of a lot of the same. You know, just prolonging some feuds and whatnot, but we get another replay of that 50-foot elbow drop. And again, just show the one where there's a little bit of mystery, like he might have hit him.
Exactly.
You know. But we get our package leading up to our main event. Winner take all. We go back to Mania, where Austin aligned with McMahon, and then the next day where Triple H aligned with Austin to destroy The Rock and form this Power Trip Alliance. Kane and The Undertaker won the tag titles, and they want a piece of Austin in the game. They're going to show him what it's like to be a badass, says The Undertaker. I don't know if those are... He could have probably done better fighting words there. But that's his thing now, being the badass, I guess. So the now four-time Intercontinental Champion Triple H is out first. Stephanie. So he defeated Jeff Hardy, actually. Jeff Hardy held the belt for like a week in between Mania and now.
Huh.
Gave him a little trial run, I guess. And Stone Cold Steve Austin, world champion's out next. So I guess if one of the Brothers of Destruction pins Austin, they become the world champ. And then, like, his partner would become the IC champ. Is that how this is supposed to work?
I'm not clear. I'm not 100% positive on how that plays out.
So there's two matches on this card where it's not really clear what's supposed to happen here. JR tells us that these men walk through hell barefoot to get the win. Looks like the game at Stone Cold want to get out of there early. They get followed out by the Taker and Kane, get brought back in. What do you think of Austin's red and black knee pads?
Hate it.
Hated it.
Hated it. Hated it. Problem is that old Dead Man Walking, he's obviously, he's usually got some red and black. Kane always has red and black. Here comes Austin. Why has he got red? Like, and I this is the only time I can ever remember him wearing the red braces. And it looks fucking goofy.
Kane's arm is all dinged up.
Yeah, sounds like it's got a burst sack.
And the burst sack, those are the worst. It's all big red machine early on until the game hits him with the big knee. Get Austin and Taker in there. Taker stomps a mud hole in Austin. Gives the redneck a piece of his own medicine. And Taker throws Austin into the corner four times in a row. And Austin goes for the handshake. What's the truce?
I like that, man.
Yeah, it was good.
It's not like it's not within his character generally to pull a move like that. And it's very strange to see him do it. Mm-hmm. It's a good heel move though.
Right. Taker doesn't oblige, he just kicks him in the face. And Taker hits old school onto the game and to Austin, clearing out the ring. And then the power trip, they go walking up the ramp again. They get the business from Kane. They keep walking right by that bike, so if I'm them, I'd probably knock the thing over, right?
Yeah.
Or take a leak on the bike, maybe?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're going to take a leak, you might as well take a shit.
Just right on the bike.
Just take a shit on the bike.
See, that would get, call that mind games, right?
Yeah. Yeah, why not? Really, just give it the business, right?
Just double team it?
Yeah, just put the bike on rotisserie.
Oh, yeah.
Look at us, Taker. We're fucking your bike.
That's what I would have done. We get a tag team mud hole situation from Game in Austin to the Taker. Great teamwork. Taker has the chance, but opts to not make the tag. So I think we're led to believe that he's sees his brother is like dinged up, right?
Well, yeah, he gives him like the signal. Like Kane wants to tag in, and Taker gives him the signal. Like I can't do it. Can't do it to you, bro.
Right.
I got a bad wing.
Right. You got Austin with that Luthez press. Then the Taker makes a comeback. Double clothesline before Kane tags himself in. You might regret that. He goes to the top, hits a big-ass clothesline, then slams the game off the top. And Austin and Triple H, they're attempting a lot of like double-team stuff. Meanwhile, Taker's been just abiding by the rules, just hanging out on the apron.
Well, he's throwing some punches and stuff like that. He comes off the his tag corner and walks around the ring a couple times. At one point, he punches Austin right in the mouth. Taker's on the outside. He just, you know, Earl's saying, get the hell back to your corner. So Taker turns around and Austin's standing in the ring. He just punches him in the mouth. It's a good spot.
The big red machine ends up taking a chair to the arm. Can't make the tag. Triple H goes to the top for a nothing. Just okay. A classic flying nothing.
Yes. So that I am so glad that you brought that up. So this is after Triple H does the run around to the other side, full Taker off, so King can't make the tag.
Yep.
Goes back into the ring. He goes to the top, which is kind of you worry about it right away, right? He doesn't go right to the top rope. Furthermore, he's the way that Kane is positioned, right? He's laying like feet towards the post.
Yep.
And Triple H jumps off like he's delivering maybe a double axe hammer, maybe? I don't. And then, So, and I'll tell
Kane's
you,
on the mat. So double axe ain't going to do you anything.
It's not going to do good. Yeah, he's laying down. There's nothing. You can go for like a, go for a stomp. You can go for an elbow drop. For a leg drop, maybe. But
go
there's
for
not
something.
Like. But like he goes, he doesn't even. He doesn't like. He lands at his feet. My note reads, "Fuck, were you going for?" Because I don't know, man. Like I'm like again. He goes to the top, and I'm like, when he's in the top, I'm like, oh, this could be interesting. What could he be going for? And he gets there, it's like, he can't be going for anything. He's going for the classic, absolutely fucking nothing move. And Kane doesn't even really have to lift his leg up that far. Because H lands at his fucking feet.
That was like the only possible thing that was going to happen there.
Yes, top rope, nothing.
Yeah, just classic nothing there. But Triple H hits a pedigree almost immediately after. He doesn't go for the pin. Instead makes the tag to Austin, which was a strange move because Austin just goes for a pin.
He goes for the pin, yeah. Austin walks by him, you fucking idiot.
Why don't you go for the fucking pin?
Did you fucking go for the fucking pin?
And Taker gets in there, choke slams Austin. Stephanie gets on the apron. And then Hebner shoves her off the apron. That's a bit much.
Yeah, I was a little concerned for that because Hebner has got to be very careful. One, you know, probably don't push a lady. But two, even within the confines of the show, if you're going to push a lady, you got to worry about hand placement.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you do. The problem, too, is that Steph, her nip's been out all night. I don't know, we haven't mentioned that yet. She's been nipping out the entire night. I don't know if she's, you know, I don't know if she's fluffing herself or what's going on, but she's nipping all night. Hebner goes to shove her. You got to be very careful with that hand placement. Right? You got to be careful.
What, did he get himself some action there?
I don't know if he did. I don't know. I get my... While watching, I think he was high enough, right? The hand placement was high enough.
Oh, yeah.
But you can't go too high. Because you won't get this the proper shove.
Right.
And you can't go too low because then you're going to be touching the bigger front, you know?
Man, you got to believe that Hebner's going to pay for that, though.
Oh, yeah.
That was a pretty flagrant move there.
Well, if you know you're going to pay for it, Do you go all in?
I would.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're a degenerate.
Oh. You think Hebner's better than me?
I do think Hebner's better than you.
Well, fuck you, man.
Well, you just shit.
Kane hits an enziguri kick to the game. Finally makes that hot tag. He shoves both of them in the corner, kicks a whole bunch of ass here. It's the last ride, but Hebner won't make the count because he didn't see the tag. Austin hits a stunner to Kane. Stephanie gives Triple H a belt as Austin and Taker battle into the crowd. And then Game takes the title to his face after a Kane boot. Steph gets in there, takes a boot as well. She's just getting it here, man.
Oh, yeah.
And then Vince comes out. The sledgehammer passes it to the Game. Clobbers Kane. Not a great job by the cameraman. Triple H gets the pin, and we have new tag team champions.
Throughout the entire finish sequence, the thing that I took away, Vince runs very comically.
Yeah, he does.
He's got a very funny run to him. A lot of bullshit at the end. Long match. Probably, I mean, at times I was kind of out of it. Finish was kind of what you were thinking going to happen. A lot of bullshit, though. Too much bullshit, really, for my liking.
Yeah, I didn't like having all the titles on the line like that.
Right.
Like, you're right. That was the only real... feasible solution outside of like a draw of some sort. But yeah, it wasn't a bad show. Not as good as 17, but
I didn't like it that much.
Didn't like it.
No. I was hoping for more out of Angle and Benoit. It was good enough, but it didn't blow my nuts off.
Gave you a half hour, man.
Yeah, they did. They did. And they did a pretty good job. I guess I was expecting more, wanting more. The Duchess of Queensberry rules match. A lot of bullshit.
That was a shit show.
The opener was good enough for what
opener
it was
all right, yeah.
The three-way for the European title? Kind of, I don't know, junk for me. What did Shane and Big Show? Not a great match. I can say I was pretty disappointed in this one.
They definitely suffered for putting all those titles in the one match.
Yes.
At the end there. But, yeah, nevertheless, we got two episodes down. I think the next one we're going to be going to England, right?
Yeah. This could be fun, man, right? Insurrection? I think it takes place like...
We going to Wembley?
I don't even think you can tell we're not going to fucking Wembley. All right, take it easy, TK. We're going to Earl's Court Exhibition Center. But isn't it within days after Backlash?
I think it's within a week, yeah.
Okay. Moves quick. But I got the match card, man. I'm going to read it to you. We'll see what we think. We got Guerrero versus Grandmaster Sexay.
All right.
We got the Hollies versus the Radicals.
It's a big spot for Sexay.
It is a big spot for Sexay.
I like the Radicals, Hollies.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good. Show and Bradshaw.
All right.
We got a four-way elimination match. We got Edge and Christian against the Dudleys versus the Hardys versus X-Factor.
That should be good.
Yeah. Benoit and Angle are going at it in a 2 out of 3 falls match.
Chapter 3.
We got a singles match for the Queen's Cup. Oh. It's Jericho and Regal, obviously.
You suppose that was the same cup that Regal and Flair were fighting over?
I'd have to see the cup, yeah. I'd have to see the cup. Main event's a handicap match. We've got H and Stone Cold versus Taker. And there's special rules to this one. Taker could only win the title by pinning Austin. That's weird. So it's a little roosy right now, isn't it? The Federation a little roosy?
Yeah, that seems foolish there.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little roosy action. You think he might have snuck back in?
I hope not. I hope. But it does feel roosy.
I like how that main event. I don't know what to think about that main event, but the rest of the card I liked. Yeah. So.
Let's see. Looking forward to it. Those London shows are usually pretty fun.
Yeah, it'll be the third show within a month here. They're just getting right after it. 2001 of the WWF. So, well, we want to thank you for tuning in to Year of Duke and Rome. We covered Backlash 2001. I'm your host, Duke the Dumpster Bags. Pull one out of there.
And Kevin, get a slide. One in there. Yes, I have one. Yeah.
Pull it out again.
I think it's got some power, man.
Yeah. Power ballad.
Yeah. We'll let the singing. It's not just a biscuit.